You're listening to Radio Times on WHYY. I'm Katie Meyer in for Marty Moscowane. There are 27 days until the presidential election. And if you've been paying attention to what our president's been saying, then you know Philadelphia is at the center of a national discussion on election integrity.
In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They're called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things.
So today we're going to take a look at what actually is happening in Philadelphia. We'll discuss how city officials are preparing. We'll talk through real problems that have arisen, debunk some conspiracy theories, and take your questions about this year's unusually complicated process. Joining us in the discussion are WHYY reporter Max Marin, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, and Committee of 70 Policy Director Pat Christmas. And by the way, we welcome your questions and comments. Specifically, we will be carving out time toward the end of the show to answer any logistical questions you might have about the election. You can give us a call at 1-888-477-9499 or send an email to radiotimes@whyy.org. First up, we have Max. Max, welcome.
Hey, Katie. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So I just want to preface this by saying that we're going to be talking about a couple problems that have arisen in Philly's election system. Because this has been a really contentious topic, I want to note that we're not raising any of this to imply that you can't trust the election results, just that these are important things to flag and fix. So, Max, you started looking into election security in Philly the other week after the Inquirer broke a story that a laptop and memory sticks were stolen from a Philly election warehouse. Can you tell me what you know about that theft and if we've learned anything since the story broke?
Sure. Philadelphia election officials who were called the city commissioners called the police last Wednesday to report a laptop and USB drives went missing from their East Falls warehouse. The laptop and USB drives belong to a contractor who worked for the company that supplies the city's election voting machines.
Okay. And do we know what the memory sticks were for?
Yeah, the manufacturer for the voting machines said the USB sticks were used to they were encrypted to begin with to prevent tampering, but they were used, and so was the software on the computer, to program some of the election machines.
Okay. And so this happened, you know, a little while ago now. Have there been any updates? Are there any, you know, ideas about who did this?
The police are still searching for suspects. There's been any updates on that front. They initially said they didn't believe that this was in any way connected to some sort of electoral malfeasance or anybody trying to interfere with anything. They think it was more of a routine theft. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep monitoring that situation as it develops.
Yeah. And just so we get this off the bat, Philly election officials, what have they said about this? Are they concerned?
They are concerned. You know, the issues with the security at the warehouse was the biggest issue to address right away here. And then there's the secondary issue of the, sort of devices and program itself. The manufacturers disabled that laptop that was stolen remotely. And again, they said that, the USB drives were encrypted in a way that nobody could steal any sensitive information off there. And they have retested all of the machines and any of the other equipment that could have been possibly impacted by somebody with knowledge of how to use this.
Gotcha. Okay. And so now we've got the background. So you started looking into security at that warehouse. And just tell me what happened. Where did you go? What did you find?
Yeah. So the this was a huge story. It has ramifications that clearly reach up to the White House. And when the Inquirer wrote that, I just kind of decided the next morning that, well, I need to go investigate sort of the basic situation with the security at this warehouse to see how this could have even happened. There have been stories that have come out around this election warehouse, which is used for a variety of different functions in city election, mostly storage, but, sometimes there's other things that happen there. And I said, I just figured I'd assess the situation.
Mm-hmm. And so you went there in person.
Yeah, and you kind of have to go out of your way to get there. The warehouse sits in this kind of industrial area in the East Falls neighborhood, which is kind of near the Schuylkill River, if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. And it's tucked away on a back street. You kind of have to, drive back, and then, once you get to the actual address, you do have to loop around this long red brick kind of nondescript warehouse and get to the back door where all of this stuff is stored. And there's not any, clear signs indicating, election materials being stored here or anything like that. You really have to know where you were going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you basically, to cut to the chase, you went in. You found an open door and you were able to just walk right in.
Right. To be clear, my intention going there was not just to walk into the warehouse immediately. I was going to see what the security situation was. And when I arrived, there was, it became immediately apparent to me that things were off. The first thing I noticed was that there was no security cameras on the outside of the building, and there was nobody around. I'd seen a security guard on the other side of this long, massive warehouse when I pulled in, but when I got to the back door, there was nobody there. Mm. And so it's just on basis of needing to know what's happening, the door was open, I walked in, and I found myself in the middle of this warehouse, completely unattended.
Mm-hmm. And you were, just to be clear, like in the middle of a bunch of election machines that will be used for this coming election. They were obviously going to be used, and nobody was monitoring you, right?
Right. It was just me and hundreds of these unattended voting machines. Yeah. There was other stuff in the warehouse. There's other things, other parts and materials that are being stored there. There was stacks of paper on the shelf that I later confirmed were unused machine ballots from the primary election. I was in there for several minutes, between 2 and 3 minutes, announcing my name, trying to find if there was somebody in the building, and eventually encountered a staffer who escorted me to the door and told me I wasn't allowed to be in there.
Right. And so obviously you did not steal anything, but the situation could have been worse if somebody else got in. Obviously someone else had gotten in previously. So you, again, released a video of this. You did some more reporting. How did the city respond to your story?
But within a few hours, they responded by implementing a number of far stricter security measures. There was around-the-clock police presence that was put on the block. Mayor Jim Kenney's administration also made sure that the building would be outfitted with security cameras. They vowed to do that. It hasn't been done yet, but it should be done soon. And they're implementing a new login and logout procedure for everybody who comes in and out of this election warehouse.
Okay. And did they say why there had been nobody there? Like, was that the policy, or was there some mistake that had happened?
No, I was told that there should have been a security guard monitoring the door at all times.
Okay.
And that, perhaps it was just the timing of it, or some other just logistical issue, but it wasn't there. There was nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the issue should have been fixed. It should have been fixed immediately after the theft was reported, and that shouldn't have been possible. And, the city has now addressed it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think one of the interesting components of this story is I mentioned you shared a video of yourself walking around this warehouse unattended. You had done some reporting first. You figured out what the situation was, and then you shared it. This picked up a lot of traction. And I think this is an important takeaway here. Who was sharing this video? What were they using it as evidence of?
Right away, kind of, there are two just polarized sides of this that are somewhat partisan. Mm-hmm. Obviously there was a lot of people on the right who were sharing this video as just clear-cut evidence of a sort of massive negligence and conspiracy on behalf of Philadelphia city officials and, by extension, Pennsylvania writ large. It would add to this allegedly mounting pile of evidence that the results would be discredited if they're not in my candidate's favor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being shared by both sides, but there are also people, there are people who are, fairly trustworthy of the election process who are also sharing this, just saying that this is an egregious oversight. This mm-hmm. is a massive lapse of security, and the city should be ashamed of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I want to get just some more contextual information about election fraud, what this means. So first of all, from this security breach that you were able to perpetrate, did it seem like, or have you found any sign of widespread problems beyond this, or any sign of intentional malfeasance?
No, again, just in terms of the actual security of Philadelphia's election materials, we don't have any evidence that there's anything beyond the incident that happened so far. Confirmed that there's no other thefts or trespassing incidents in the warehouse this year. This was the first one. And in terms of, the greater, this is also, as you mentioned, Katie, this is more an issue about the greater sense of security in the elections, and what potential voter fraud practices would look like,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is what people are extending to, right? Seeing an empty warehouse alone, unattended, full of voting machines, it's that's great, but what would you actually have to do to, influence one of these voting machines? What would you have to do to commit voter, most people are using, the terms voter fraud, and not having any kind of clear image of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And of course, if you don't have a clear image of what it looks like, you can call lots of things voter fraud.
Right.
I think we hear this a lot, I think, as reporters, that, you know, it's hard to know what to look for during elections. It's hard to know if these things are being kept track of. Certainly when you have a story like yours, people get nervous. But you've covered elections, you know, in Philly in the past. You know, big elections when there's the president being elected, off-year elections. What's your experience with the monitoring of voter fraud and the reporting of voter fraud?
Two big things. One, here's I think the good kind of definition for people, the clarification to take away, is the difference between electoral fraud and voter fraud. Right? You have election fraud, which is the actual legal interference with the process of the election. This could be like a poll worker actually, you know, manipulating one of the machines, right? That's election fraud. Voter fraud is, you know, what the general blanket that everyone's using, which is this image of a voter independently being able to go in and cast multiple ballots or another instance like that. So this, I think that's an important distinction just in terms of thinking about who would actually commit this, right? Is it mm-hmm. election officials or is it voters? Mm-hmm. What are the motivations for either, and what are the safeguards to prevent that? And yes, as you said, you and I have both covered elections for years, and you know, we all know that there are instances of voter fraud and election fraud in Philadelphia. The city has a very, I guess it's called a pugilistic political spirit. There is quite a number of contested local races that aren't going to make, national news. And there have been, you know, cases, and a lot of these are like provincial battles in neighborhoods where small districts where people are fighting it out. And there has been allegations and charges that have come afterwards in some of these races. And then there have been more high profile cases over the years. There was the instance in the 2012 Republican presidential race when Mitt Romney was apparently, allegedly got zero votes in a number of divisions. And, you know, they're investigating and claiming that they've been all the votes were erased. And turned out it wasn't true. Even the local Republican Party had to come up and say, help debunk the claim that, now President Trump was putting forward in 2016. These are all instances, right? These are kind of like these one-off stories that we, you know, pull and get a bigger picture, but they add to a collective sense of, a collective sense of corruption. And that's kind of how the image of corruption and the image of uneasiness is kind of formed in the public mind.
Yeah.
But these are not systemic widespread instances. Mm-hmm. These are not, none of these have been tied with evidence to any conspiracy by the bipartisan election officials who run the elections in the city. None of it has been tied to any sort of even like cross election conspiracy. Right. There hasn't even been an instance of sort of a repeat offender that I found and have been able to document.
Mm-hmm. Max, just about 10 seconds left here. Can you just tell us quickly what you're working on, what you're looking at going forward?
Sure. I'll be monitoring any more election security issues. We'll be looking and closely at mail-in ballots and all of the other things that are going on, concerns ahead of the election. So,
all right.
Send me your questions.
Thank you. Max Maron is going to be covering elections for the next month or so. Definitely send him your questions. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
You're listening to Radio Times. I'm Katie Meyer in for Marty Moscoane, and today we're discussing election logistics and integrity. Next up, we're hearing from Mayor Jim Kenney, who has raised some questions about voter intimidation by Republicans. Mayor Kenney, welcome.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning. So we'll get right into it. I know you have limited time. You've said you are worried the Trump campaign will try to intimidate Democratic voters. Why is that a concern? What, you know, concrete signs have you seen that that might happen?
Well, most of it comes out of the president's mouth. I mean, when he is calling on his supporters to go to polling places to monitor what's going on and without watcher certificates or any validation, there's a possibility that some knuckleheads will show up and try to keep people from voting. But the thing that I know for sure about Philadelphians is that they cherish the right to vote. They will be out there. And I suspect that there is some presence, some negative presence from Trump supporters there at any polling place, that the people who live in that neighborhood, who voted in that polling place, will just walk in and do what they're supposed to do and exercise their right to vote. I've been through elections down in South Philadelphia years ago when I first started in politics that were highly contested and people's emotions were high. But things went on and we voted, every single election. I haven't missed voting in an election ever since I was eligible to vote at 18, and I'm 62. So I think that people should just make a plan to vote, make sure you're registered to vote, vote by mail if you can, or if you're voting in person, just walk down there and go in there like you always do. And whatever's outside, don't worry about it.
And you mentioned the satellite election offices, which is a new thing the city has put in place this year. This is a place where voters can apply for a mail-in ballot, drop it off, fill it out there if they want to, and submit it. And I'm curious. So Donald Trump's campaign is now suing Philadelphia over not being allowed to put poll watchers in these satellite election offices. Obviously, this is a tense year. People are on alert for any signs of malfeasance. And as I said, these are brand new processes. I'm curious, why not just let the Republicans observe them? Why open the city to a lawsuit like this and all the attention a lawsuit brings?
Well, the city commissioners are independently elected officials, and I don't appoint them, decided that these are administrative offices for administrative purposes, and it's not your traditional polling place. It's a place to do administrative work, and people should not be harassed or potentially harassed as a result of going and filling out those forms and exercising their right to vote if they want to vote there. Traditionally, on Election Day, the traditional polling place that we're all used to is another situation because in the past, and as rightfully so, people are able, the individual parties or candidates are permitted to designate people to oversee the polls and to watch to make sure that what's going on is on the up and up. Mm-hmm. We have no problem doing that, but people need to register, that we need to know who they are. They need to have a watcher certificate and can't just show up and with their MAGA hat on and want to intimidate people from going into the polls.
And just to be clear, though, even if somebody did register, they would not be somebody from the Trump campaign, for instance, they wouldn't be allowed to poll watch at these satellite election offices, right?
Correct. Okay. The city commissioners consider them administrative offices, not polling places. We'll see what the court says.
Uh-huh. We've got a question from Meg from Philly. She says, I'm concerned that there are not specific procedures and rules for processing ballots. What will the mayor do to make sure Philly ballots are counted and processed in a way that's beyond reproach? Now, I'm not sure what she means by specific procedures and rules, because there are some of them, but I'll put that to you more generally. What do you think?
We're working with the city commissioners. All of our interagencies, all of our departments are working, meeting twice a week, talking about logistics, talking about process, and we'll be using a single centralized facility to process those ballots. The problem that we have is the Supreme Court ruled that we can't start counting the ballots until 7 a.m. on Election Day, which potentially puts us in a situation where we won't have a certified election count for a day or two, hopefully no more than 2 days after the election. And if the popular vote is very, very close, which I don't think it will be, and we hope that it won't be, it'll be a very clear winner in Biden and Kamala Harris, that Trump won't have the ability to, throw doubt on the outcome of the election by saying that these votes are being counted, days after the election. So what I'm hoping and what I urge people to do is make sure that you go out and vote, get your mail-in ballot in early, and make sure that on election night, it's very clear that the former Vice President Biden has won by a large margin.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about election security. We have had in this city some issues with that already. We just heard from our reporter, Max Marin, who was looking into a laptop and memory sticks that were stolen from an election warehouse. And when he was looking into this, he was able to just walk right into the warehouse through an unlocked door. Now, I think obviously that's not ideal. Can you tell me why this happened?
I don't know. That was the first. I knew about the burglary. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether or not it was election related or just simply a person who stole something of value because they wanted to steal something they could sell. And I will check later today as to why that door was open and security wasn't there. Mm-hmm. We had expected after that break-in that the city commissioners were going to hire private security, and I'll find that out today.
Mm-hmm. And are these issues that have come up in the past, or is this just, you know, all new for some reason? I mean, I think you've been using that warehouse for years. Has security always been that lax?
No, I think that this is all heightened because of what Trump has been spewing out and the things that the Republicans have been saying. I think this is this is not a normal election by any stretch of the matter. But I think that the processes are normal. And we will continue to do it normally with some heightened security on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, what do you want voters to take away, you know, from this incident or just in general about the city's election process? What do you want them to know?
I think Philadelphians and all Americans should understand that this democracy is fragile. We've seen it teetering on the brink. That tableau the other night with Trump standing on the Truman porch. Doing that ridiculous dance he was doing with the mask, and just it was horrifying. It reminded me of a third world dictator, and I think that people have to understand that many people in the course of our history have sacrificed their lives and their reputations have been put in jail for the right to vote. And if you don't get out of your house this time to fix this country on the brink of losing its democracy, then I don't know what to tell you. This democracy is that fragile right now, and we can restore it by voting in great numbers.
Mm-hmm. And again, just on the note of confidence in the election, because polling has shown some people are worried, you know, is there anything you can say? Like, are you yourself sure that this election in Philadelphia, because we're at the center of attention here, is going to be run safely and well? Do you have any doubts yourself? Are you feeling confident?
Yes, I'm feeling confident. The people have voted for generations in this city, in this country, and in this city especially. People have fought for the vote, and I can tell you now that no one's going to stop some lady from Mount Airy from walking into her polling place and casting her vote. And I urge all of us to get out, young, old, black, white, Latino, whatever your ethnic background is. Save our democracy, vote in numbers, and let's send this guy packing.
All right. Mayor Kenney, I know you have things to do, so we will let you go. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care. And next up, we have somebody who's going to help answer a lot of listener questions. We've got a ton coming in, and we're welcoming more. Pat Christmas. Pat is the policy director for the Committee of 70, which is an election-focused good government group. Pat, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, if you have not yet sent in your questions or comments, you can give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at radiotimes@whyy.org. We're taking questions on Twitter, too. That's at WHYY Radio Times. So, Pat, just to start off, I want to start actually with a note about tone. You know, you've told me in the past that you guys at the Committee of 70, you've had to do kind of a different sort of communication this year about elections than you usually have. What changed?
Well, it's, you know, it's largely the information environment that we're in. And then, you know, the strategy that's coming clearly from the president and how he's going to talk about this election. I mean, the challenge is great enough with what's happening on the ground. I mean, our local election officials and state election officials have been scrambling all year long to execute these elections, scrambling to the summer to administer, you know, a huge mail-in election and a huge in-person election under pandemic conditions. New voting procedures, I mean, a whole lot to keep track of. But, you know, what's spinning around social media, cable news, you know, internet blogs, and now presidential debates is making this all the more difficult. So, you know, whereas in the past, we usually don't name, you know, public officials in terms of what they're saying around an election. But, you know, this year, it's really kind of unavoidable because the president has made Pennsylvania a clear target and Philadelphia in particular, and we are counting on more of it in the weeks to come.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned polling as well. Is there cause for concern there that people won't trust results?
Well, there is. I mean, there was a Franklin and Marshall statewide poll just a week or two ago have found that 60% of Pennsylvania voters will be confident in the accuracy of the count if there's widespread mail-in voting, which there will be. And then there's a very, you know, kind of hard partisan breakdown, as there is like around a lot of our polls these days, where 83% of Democrats will trust the count, but only 32% of Republican voters in Pennsylvania. So this is extremely disconcerting. And we're going to have to do our best to message that folks should trust the process. And, you know, it's local county officials who are running our elections. But this is tough to be back against, because, you know, falsehoods can shoot around the Internet 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times before the facts can track up with them.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a caller on the line. This is Bryn in Philly. Bryn, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Bryn. How are you? What's your question or comment?
I actually just wanted to let everyone in Philadelphia know my wife, Ting Ting, and I went to one of our satellite polling locations last night. We applied for the mail-in ballot right there. Everyone was very kind and knew exactly what the rules and regulations were. There was a police officer standing outside as well, so we felt very safe. They also were following COVID procedures very well. There were glass partitioners. Everyone was wearing a mask. They went through the procedures with us to make sure we knew to put our envelope in the secure envelope first and then sign the second envelope on the outside. And everything was secure as far as our voting. We were in a partition, separated. There was nothing fishy going on about it. So we really just want to encourage everyone to get out and vote early.
All right. You heard it from Bryn. No problems on her end. Thank you so much for your call. And Pat, I think this is something, you know, hopefully that a lot of people have a good experience with the new satellite election offices, with mail-in voting in general. I do want to ask you to kind of run through the process on mail-in ballots, because this is a newly expanded thing. A lot of people haven't used them before, especially if they didn't vote in the primary. Before, you needed an excuse to vote via mail-in ballot in Pennsylvania. Now anyone can do it. We're expecting just, you know, a really huge influx of these ballots. So, how can people successfully return a mail-in ballot? What are the things you think they should remember?
Yeah. So there are several really critical steps that folks should follow. And you know, it's fortunate that we have mail-in voting. This was probably the most prominent and important feature of Act 77 of 2019, which is a historic election reform package that our legislature got done. But for folks to successfully vote this way, and we're going to have at least several 100,000 people in Philadelphia, at least several million across the state of Pennsylvania, they have to first make sure that that in the ballot pack they receive, you know, they're going to unpack the ballot. Everyone's going to, you know, not mistake what that looks like. But, you know, those little ovals, we got to make sure we fill those out, you know, fully, cleanly. Nope. Nice test we have to take. And then the next step is to use the secrecy envelope. And this is where we had a Supreme Court decision, or Pennsylvania Supreme Court made very clear that if people do not use the secrecy envelope, their ballots will not. It's a plain white envelope that says official election ballot on it. And once you complete your ballot, you have to fold that ballot up, put it into the secrecy envelope. So that's the second critical step. After that, the secrecy envelope with the ballot has to go into the declaration or the return envelope. And so this is the outer envelope that has a declaration that the voter has to fill out, date, sign. And then there's a barcode there as well that the county officials use to track who submitted the ballot and who hasn't. And then the last critical thing is the timeline. You know, the deadlines that we have are very strict. You know, the message right now is to return that ballot early, early, early. If you haven't applied yet, apply early, early, early. So, you know, I think folks should feel confident in voting this way. But, you know, there is an instruction card that comes with these ballot packs. Follow those instructions very, very carefully. And get your ballot early, and you'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have heard about cuts to the United States Postal Service. They've heard about mail slowdowns. And I have personally gotten a lot of emails from people who are worried about sending their ballot in the mail. First of all, is that a legitimate concern? When is the time when you would no longer advise people to send the ballot in the mail? You know, when is too late?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the U.S. Postal Service has advised nearly every state, voters in almost every state, that they should apply for a mail-in ballot no later than 15 days before the election. And if they're going to put that ballot in the mail, to return it, to put it in the mail no later than 7 days before the election. I know that, you know, some folks are advocating and messaging to return it even earlier than that by mail. I think if you're putting it in the mail, 7 days should be okay. Mm-hmm. But when you get within that window, however, you know, I would strongly recommend people find one of these satellite election offices, and then we will have drop boxes too. Those locations haven't been determined and announced yet, but we will also have drop boxes across the city of Philadelphia, and also multiple drop-off locations across the region for people to deliver their ballots in person. So, you know, there have been a lot of headlines around this, a lot of politics as well, also involving the president. You know, folks should rest assured, if they put their ballot in the mail, it will get delivered. But as the deadline approaches, and the deadline right now is that if ballots are postmarked on November 3rd and they're received by November 6th, that's Friday, that ballot will be counted. But we definitely would not recommend people put their ballots in the mail on November 3rd on that deadline.
Mm-hmm. And got about a minute left here before the break. But we've got an email from Martha. She says, I have a mail-in ballot. If I decide instead to vote in person, I know I must turn in my mail-in ballot at the poll. But is there a chance that my in-person vote would be considered provisional because I arrived at the poll with a mail-in ballot? I have opened the envelope in which my mail-in ballot arrived. Is that a problem? So a lot of things there. But basically, I think she's asking, you know, what do I do if I decide I've got a mail-in ballot, but I decide to vote in person? What are the ins and outs?
Yeah. So real quick, there are two paths. I mean, one is if you do have your ballot and the declaration envelope, that's the return envelope with your name and the barcode, you have to bring both those things to a polling place. You give them to the judge of elections. You hand them over, they get spoiled, and then you have to sign an affirmation that you haven't otherwise voted by mail-in ballot. So, again, you have to bring both the ballot and the declaration envelope. This is the envelope, again, with that barcode. So that's one option. If someone were to go to a polling place and they've requested an absentee or mail-in ballot, but they haven't returned or haven't brought with them those components, you know, you'll be given a provisional ballot, and you can vote that way, too. That's perfectly fine. And that provisional ballot will count. I should have mentioned, if you are able to bring your ballot and your declaration envelope to void, you'll be allowed to use the voting system. But if you haven't brought those two pieces, you'll be getting a provisional. But, you know, this is one of those things where there are myths, persistent myths around some parts of our election. Those
Absolutely.
Provisional ballots count the same as any other ballot.
Absolutely. All right, we got to go to a break, but we will be back with Pat Christmas just after these couple of messages. Stay with us. You are listening to Radio Time.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Katie Meyer, in for Marty Moss-Cohen, and today we're talking about election logistics and integrity. Here with us is Pat Christmas, Policy Director for the Committee of 70, an election-focused good government group. So we're going to get back to our conversation with Pat. We do welcome your questions and comments. You can call us at 1-888-477-9499 or email radiotimes@whyy.org. So, Pat, I've got a couple of questions here that are along the lines that I've seen quite a lot. This is from Dave. He says, can you explain why the Board of Elections is being so slow with updates in Philly? I submitted my ballot a week ago in person and it hasn't updated. The Department of State website lists virtually no ballots returned from Philly. And Zach has a similar question. He filled out his ballot. He returned it to one of the remote locations last weekend. He wants to know if he can track and confirm his vote was counted. It's listed that it hasn't been mailed or received. So I think there are delays with the state's system for showing you where your ballots are. What would you advise people do in this case?
Yeah, so I think there have been a couple of glitches with the state's tracking tool. We're not alarmed by this at all yet. But what is supposed to happen, and what will happen, is that when ballots are returned, and whether they are returned in the mail or at a satellite election office or a drop box, they will be brought to a central processing facility, and that's where the barcode will be scanned. And what's supposed to happen is when the barcode is scanned, the voter should receive an automated email letting them know that their ballot has been received. And then when they go to the state's tracking tool, which is at votespa.com, they can see there as well whether or not their ballot has been received by county election officials. So, mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, though, that's all the information the voter will have. I know a lot of folks are very, very anxious about, you know, whether or not my ballot has been counted or not. But the actual processing and scanning of the ballots will not start until November 3rd at 7 o'clock in the morning. And that's when state law allows us to start doing that. And then as far as like folks being able to check whether or not their votes were counted, that's something that they actually would not be able to tell until after the election. Unfortunately, there's not a requirement right now, county by county by county, that they follow up the voters if they made a mistake and not signed the declaration envelope, for example. I understand there's some counties that do that proactive follow up. I know other counties that don't. So this is where we're testing our election system here with just an exponential growth in the number of people voting by mail. And a lot of the responsibility, frankly, is going to come down on individual voters to make sure they follow these steps correctly, to make sure the ballots do count.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so, again, if you fill it out correctly, be very, very careful. There should be no problems with your ballot. You can be pretty confident that it's going to be counted as long as you did it right, got it in on time. I think that's an important thing to remember. I would you say this is right, Pat? There's got to be a little bit of trust in the process. You got to trust that it's going to get there. It's going to be counted. The process will work. But there's no reason to think that shouldn't be the case.
That's absolutely the case.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the case. And again, what's challenging here is that there is so much noise around this election. I mean, the poll watcher, non-incident from last week. The president mentioned this non-event up in Missouri County. Folks need to remember that elections are run county by county by county. This is this the same circumstance across the United States, and it's one of our best defenses for election integrity. But we should also have faith that these folks live in our community and they're going to be doing their jobs right. And whether you're voting by mail or you're going to go to a polling place on election day, and if you're doing that, do please wear a mask. Please be patient. There are going to be some lines. Rest assured that the process will work.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get into that in-person polling places. So first off, though, just to recap, if you're dropping off your ballot in Philadelphia, for instance, you have the option of mailing it in, going to a satellite election office. There are several of those, I think 7 open now. There's going to be 17 before the election. Drop boxes are being set up out in collar counties. They're also going to be set up in Philadelphia. They're not there yet. And then in-person polling places. Is there anything, Pat, that voters should know about voting in person? Any questions you've seen arise?
Yeah, I mean, probably at the top of the list is the fact that, for the June 2nd primary, of course, we usually have our presidential primaries on the fourth Tuesday in April, because of the pandemic, the legislature decisively in bipartisan fashion moved the primary date from April 28th to June 2nd. Also, as part of that legislation, they allowed some emergency powers at the county level, and one of those was for polling place consolidation. That was driven by the lack of poll workers that we had. There was a steady outflow of poll workers as the pandemic kind of unfolded upon us, and counties did not know how many folks they'd have to work the polls. Mm-hmm. And that's why, especially in the larger counties, especially where the pandemic was hitting hardest at the beginning, they had to consolidate polling places. So Philadelphia, for example, went from 830 physical polling places down to 190. For the November 3rd election, we're expecting somewhere in the range of 700 to 800 polling places, so not as many as we usually have. And this won't be – we don't expect this will be driven by a lack of poll workers. This will be driven by the fact that, senior centers, health centers, firehouses, for example, some locations that we usually use for polls will be off the table because of health concerns. But most Philadelphians, most folks across the region will be going back to their usual polling place. So that should provide some assurance that people are going to be voting that way on the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a question about that from Michelle. She wants to know, has the office of the Philadelphia City Commissioners been able to recruit the 8,500 poll workers it needed to staff the polls? I applied to be a poll worker and received an email that my application was received, but have not yet been contacted about working at a particular polling place. Any news on that?
Yeah, so, of the 700 to 800 physical polling places we'll have in the city of Philadelphia, we actually have 1,703 election precincts and divisions. And each of these divisions needs at least 5 poll workers. So that 1,700 times 5, that's what gets us to the 8,500 number. Mm-hmm. The last figure that I believe was shared publicly by the commissioners, and this is roughly where they're at, is around 6,500 seats confirmed. So they have a gap to go there. I mean, upwards of 2,000 to fill. The good news is that folks have been expressing interest in droves. I mean, the PhiladelphiaVotes.com website, again, the other county election websites, the votespa.com state website where there's an interest form for people to apply to be a poll worker. thousands upon thousands of people have expressed their interest. So what's happening is that at the county level, and I know Philadelphia is again scrambling to do this, they're having to make thousands of calls going through this list and confirming people to the seats. Right now, we have every expectation that all 8,500 positions will be filled. So if you haven't heard back, you know, I'm afraid you got to sit tight. You're somewhere on that list, and you may or may not get a call back from local officials. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to check online. But if you have signed up online to express your interest, thank you very much, and just sit tight.
Yeah, and this is a quick related question from Michelle. She wants to know: Do the poll workers have to be assigned to the polling place where they would vote, or can they go anywhere?
Yeah, so the folks who are filling these vacancies, in many cases, they are not going to be in their home divisions, and they're going to have to. If you express interest to be a poll worker and you're ready to do that work, you know, you need to be ready to be assigned to anywhere, potentially anywhere in your given county. Mm-hmm. So a couple things on that real quick. I mean, one is that if you are confirmed to be a poll worker, you should probably consider applying for a mail-in ballot and voting by mail, because if you are on one side of the city working as a poll worker and your division's on the other side, you're not going to have a chance, you know, to get back to your home division and cast a ballot. If you put your name in the hat, again, that's terrific. But just be ready to be assigned anywhere. There are a lot of questions around this. Mm-hmm. You know, one resource I'll flag right here is there's actually a Facebook group called the Poll Worker Caucus. Questions around recruitment, around training. All sorts of things. It's a great place to flag those, because it's full of veteran poll workers who've been in this situation before, or who are just figuring this out because so much is evolving. And that's just a great place to ask questions if you have some already. Again, this is just for Philadelphia or anywhere else in the region. The Poll Worker Caucus on Facebook is a good place to go.
Awesome, good resource. We've got a call on the line, Bill from Kennett Square.
Yeah, anywhere.
Bill, you there?
Hello. Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I just had a question about signature matching, how strict they're going to be. I have sort of a sloppy signature sometimes, and it doesn't always look the same, you know, even to me. It comes out different. And I'd rather do the mail-in thing, but I'm just afraid that there's going to be somebody there, you know. I don't know how strict they are about the matching the signatures.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Bill. That's something we've gotten a lot, and something that has been debated, I know, at the state level at least. Pat, any advice for Bill there?
Yeah, well, you know, first, there are no codified procedures in state law around signature matching. And actually, this was an issue that was litigated already once. The League of Women Voters Pennsylvania and the Urban League of Pittsburgh sued the Department of State and every county around signature verification, signature analysis. That suit was actually settled, and the Department of State put out guidance instructing counties that they cannot do any sort of signature analysis, forensic analysis of signatures, and then reject ballots on those grounds. So there, you know, but look, there's other litigation out there. There may be more down the line. Frankly, part of the reason there's so many lawsuits right now is because the Trump campaign and the RNC are you know, trying to elevate any possible issue to kind of cloud the way this stuff is working. I think the bottom line for voters, though, is if they're voting by mail, follow those critical steps. Make sure you sign that ballot. Don't forget to sign it. But if you do that and you follow those steps, you're going to be okay. So I don't think the voters should be concerned about, you know, whether their signature matches what's on their voter file or anything else. They just need to make sure they follow the steps.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a couple of questions about the counting process. So once all these mail-in ballots are in, once all of the in-person voting is done and the polls close, what happens? I know, for instance, Pennsylvania has not allowed counties at this point to begin counting mail-in ballots before 7 a.m. on Election Day. So that does not give them very much time. This is probably going to take a while. What should voters expect?
Well, we're going to have to be patient. I mean, the term is election week, and this is going to be on all of us. I mean, on the advocates, you know, I know that that the media is already using this term, and the voters need to expect this as well. It's going to be election week. It's been extremely frustrating that the legislature, although they've done some good things in a bipartisan fashion in the recent past around our elections, they have not gotten the job done for us for this November election. I mean, there are a lot of provisions that the Republicans were pushing for and that the governor wanted. You know, I think the only item left on the list is to give counties more time before Election Day to process these ballots. And like you noted, you know, right now law, the law tells the counties that they can't start until 7 o'clock on Election Day. And this is very time intensive work. Fortunately, Philadelphia and a number of other counties have gotten special nonprofit, nonpartisan funding to get equipment. All this equipment is going to be in Philadelphia in our convention center. And what's going to happen starting at 7 o'clock on Election Day is using this new equipment and using a whole bunch of additional staff. They're going to be extracting the ballots from these envelopes. And again, if voters have followed all these critical steps, there will be two envelopes that'll have to be cut open and extracted. The ballots will be flattened, and then they'll be cut underneath these scanners. So it's time intensive work with the equipment and the staff that we have. We expect that this will happen much quicker than it did in June, where Philly in particular did not have any of this equipment and everything had to be done by hand. But in the best of circumstances, I think we should be ready for, you know, 2 or 3 days potentially, where even in Philly, where they're going to make plans to process 24 hours a day until they finish. It's not going to be done election night. It's not going to be done November 3rd. So, you know, this is a window of time we're extremely anxious about, because even though county by county by county, local officials will be doing things properly and ballots will be, you know, processed as they're supposed to by law and with partisan poll watchers, they're watching from both sides. The president and others are going to be saying all sorts of crazy things on air and on internet and anywhere else. So, you know, I think folks need to just kind of, we'll have to sit tight, you know, brace for a period of time where there may be a bit of uncertainty, and then just trust at the local level, everything is working the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about a phrase that has started cropping up quite a bit in the context of how these votes are going to be counted. The phrase is red mirage. What does that mean? How does it play into the counting process?
Yeah, so it's, you know, the red mirage or the blue shift. And this is what's going to make that week particularly tricky. So, you know, what's going to happen is that on election day in the evening, once polls close at 8 o'clock, and then any voter who's in that line at 8 o'clock is allowed to vote. But once polling places actually close and the voting systems are shut down, you know, the vote count from any given vote system, whether it's a paper based system or an electronic system like we have in Philly, you know, that vote count will be able to be uploaded online and onto a county website and then onto the state's website that night. So that night we are going to have pretty much all of the in-person vote across Pennsylvania. What we will not have, again, is the absentee and mail-in count because of the time-intensive process it takes to open up these envelopes, to flatten the ballots, and to scan them. So what's going to happen is that on the night of November 3rd, let's just call it midnight, we're going to have pretty much all the in-person count, which because of the partisan breakdown in voting right now, which is, you know, which has to be attributed to the president and his allies talking about the mail-in voting process. You know, a lot of that in-person count across the state of Pennsylvania is going to be predominantly Republican votes. You know, overall, a lot of the mail-in ballots would be Democratic votes. And so we're going to have more of the Republican vote by midnight on November 3rd. And then more of the Democratic vote will probably come in over the next day or two or three. And that's what that red mirage or that blue shift will be. And what it's going to look like on the state's website, I know that the Department of State is going to be as crystal clear about this as they possibly can, that these are unofficial results and ballots are still being scanned and counted and tabulated. But what we're going to hear on cable news, what we're going to see on social media, what we're going to see, you know, elsewhere, is that the results are changing, when in fact the results are not changing. It's simply the count is being published, you know, on a rolling basis. So, we're going to have to, like, we have every bit of confidence that county by county by county, things are happening as we're supposed to. But this is incredibly noisy year. Been a very, very noisy several years, you know, and then I got to add, like, this information challenge that we have is going to be with us long after this election. So,
yeah. Well, Pat, we could talk about this forever, but we're going to have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to Radio Times. The show is produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Kelsey Hansen. Our engineer today was Al Banks. I'm Katie Meyer, and Marty will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much again for listening.